Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely wonderful day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Absolutely wonderful, Austin. It's a beautiful day down here in Florida again. Ridiculously hot. Yesterday we got almost to 90 degrees. This is January. This is not, I mean, you could have gone water skiing yesterday. It was so warm, but it is what it is. You know, as long as we're dealing with, a chemtrail nation and chemtrail world, we're going to be having all of this nonsense. It was so funny. Yesterday I was emailing back and forth to Dane Whittington, and he's been on the show many times in the past, and he basically told me that it's not just the chemtrails that are basically causing a problem with global warming. He said there are a lot of other factors involved too. He says that, but it's probably the primary factor. He said, you know, we haven't been a good steward of the planet, you know, with all the fossil fuels we burn and all the coal we burn and all the sulfur dioxide we put into the air. He said all of it's kind of a cumulative effect since the Industrial Revolution that's really, really put a cramp down on the planet. And I agree with him to most of the extent. I do. But the problem I've got with all of this stuff is it really didn't get this bad until they started pumping this geoengineering stuff all over the planet and covering us with barium and aluminum and releasing methane because they're heating up the atmosphere with these pockets of HARP. And so it's one of those things that, you know, sure, okay, we need to be more of a better steward. I agree with that 100%. Meaning we need to be – I mean, we have a big recycling thing here at the house. We try to recycle everything, every plastic, all the glass, all of it we try to recycle, because we realize how important that is for the environment. But guys, quite frankly, you know, when you start getting Tesla cars with Tesla batteries and trying to get rid of these batteries and landfills and all this other stuff and all the energy it takes to create these batteries, you know, we need to go back to what we know that Nikola Tesla developed when he found out how to pull energy directly out of the atmosphere because of the electrochemical charges on the planet and also the magnetic charges on the planet. And we could actually literally have a little antenna on the back of our car. We have the technology with a set of batteries that will be basically recyclable like forever, like these some of these Edison batteries they have, and just turn right around and just not have to produce fossil fuel, not have to produce any of it. I mean, we have the ability to have that same type of little generator system on our house with an antenna in the air and create the energy we need for our homes. I mean, this is a technology that's been available to us for over 100 years. But the International Banking Cartel, who is basically, you know, money rolling, you know, J.P. Morgan, bought in Tesla's inventions at 51% and prevented the release of any of this stuff. I mean, Tesla could transmit electrical power to your home without even having wires. I mean, it was all going to be free, and he proved it. And then he developed. Then he built his Wardenclyffe Tower. And then he said he could develop an energy beam, a space-based energy system or land-based energy system that could take planes out of the air long before they reached the coastline if you were going to be bombed. I mean, it was his death ray. And of course, Reagan built that with Star Wars. So all of this technology that we have available to put on the back burner, so to speak, is ridiculous that we haven't allowed ourselves to use it, all because the money interests, the banks, know that they can continue to enslave us through fossil fuel. I mean, if they didn't have to, just think about it for a second. If all we were doing was like producing lubricants or whatever with oil, or cosmetic products, whatever with oil, or whatever we were doing, we'd have such a reduction of the amount of oil that we needed on this planet. It would be mind-boggling. But they don't want that. They want us to continue to basically pollute the environment, like Dane Whittington said yesterday. Now, I know we can put scrubbers on our smokestacks, you know, with electrical utility companies and manufacturing facilities, and we can basically get all the particulates back out of the atmosphere. Scrubbers are what they call – they're wet scrubbers. They're like big wet brushes that are on top of the chimneys, on top of the stacks. And as the particulates go through there, they get caught in the water. They flow back down. But again, then you have to dispose of all that stuff. So it's one of those things, though. We have the technology not to have to live like this. But we chose to because we allowed the bankers to take control. It's crazy what they've done to us. By the way, I did not watch the Democratic debate last night. And I just don't really watch stuff like that because it's more of a circus clown show. And the Democrats really don't have any kind of challenge that's available to Donald Trump. Donald Trump will win the election. And he will not be impeached. It's more circus show stuff. But remember, guys, the main story before all of this stuff started with Donald Trump's impeachment was Jeffrey Epstein. had over 1,000 people that had been blackmailed via the Mossad, and him killing himself, which he's not dead, and all of the lies that we were told, and nobody, I mean, no mainstream media talks about Epstein anymore. Even the little memes that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself are all going away. I mean, we got to maintain this narrative with what happened with Epstein, because so much of what's happened here is because of that. Nobody wants to talk about the $6 trillion that the Fed has pumped back into the markets in the last few months. $6 trillion, a third of the national debt. Of course, our national debt is much higher than that because we've signed on the derivatives. But the reality is we've got all of this stuff happening around us, and people want to talk about the debate last night with Warren and how she's all mad because Bernie said that a woman can't win the election. And even Michael Moore, which I really can't stand this guy, he's really kind of makes me want to puke, says Elizabeth and Bernie have appeared in my films and I love them both. Why Elizabeth chose to stick a knife in Bernie's back is beyond me. At a time when job number one is to remove Trump, how did this help? My new Rumble podcast, The Sad Downfall of Elizabeth Warren. Okay, first of all, Michael Moore, you know, the only reason I've quoted you on this is because of the movies you've come out with. And, of course, your movies have never been economically viable. I don't even know how you get any money except you're being funded through the Rothschilds. And Elizabeth and Bernie are doing what they've been told to do as far as the script that they've been given. And this is why all of you guys do what you do. Michael Moore, I'm talking to you right now. Because you're being told what to do, what to say, and how to do it. And that's what we need to understand. It's a circus clown act. It's a group of people that have been put into an acting role, including Donald Trump, that are doing exactly what they've been told to do. Again, where's Donald Trump talking about Virginia? Where is he talking about what's going on with Virginia? I mean, why do we not have anybody talking about Virginia? You know, it's crazy. But right now, the Virginia Democrats have dropped. They're going to drop it. Their AR confiscation after thousands of NRA members show up. Guys, the Virginia folks finally got together and they did something about what was going on with their administration and the people they put in office. Unlike here in Florida, where we have the Parkland shooting, Donald Trump starts squawking like a doggone stuck pelican and basically blah, blah, blah. Within a couple of weeks, we got red flag gun laws. We didn't even know what happened. We didn't even have time to protest. It happened so fast in the state of Florida, it was unbelievable. And that's the template they're going to use for these other countries, our other states. That's what they did in Florida. You know, Virginia has backed them off. They've said, no, we're not going to allow you to do this, with tens of thousands of people showing up in rallies. Guys, if we'd have had the opportunity in Florida, we'd have done the same thing. But it happened so fast. And the Parkland shooting, which I personally believe was a false flag led by a special ops team. We've talked about this multiple times down there in South Florida with Sheriff Israel. Gosh, you can't even make this stuff up. And now he's been removed from office. I mean, for what the absolute disaster that whole thing turned into down there. Guys, it's an unbelievable mess we've got going on right now. And these communists, these socialists, these Rothschild lackeys, they know that their next step of enslavement is going to be so draconian and so far out there and so absolute with this 5G, 6G they're putting in, they want us disarmed. And they are absolutely bent on doing it because that Second Amendment that was given to us as far as the ability to carry weapons legally by the forefathers of this country and the draftees and the draftors of the Constitution, it was an amazing thing they did for us, giving us the rights to bear arms. Because, guys, in many countries, the people don't have those rights. Austin, what do you think?
Well, that's well said. One thing that Virginia has done, though, and they slid this under the table so far, again, this isn't law yet, they've backed off of the gun confiscation things because obviously that was going to go sideways fast. However, on Monday, the Virginia Senate Judiciary Committee did pass multiple gun control bills. Now, these have not been gone into law yet as far as they've not had a full vote and the governor has not signed off on them. But of course, they did get four of their main ones passed. And this is what I warned everybody about. And so I talked about on the Hagman Show last Friday in detail. I said, they wanted to beta test to see how Virginia population was going to respond to having gun confiscation and gun registration. They saw the blowback that they got. So what they did was they said, okay, we'll compromise on you. We just want common sense gun laws. So the four that they passed was the mandatory background checks, which means now if this goes into law, you will not be able to buy or sell any firearms between one another without doing a background check. If you do, it's illegal. That's one of those things that's going to be a very, very questionable one on how that's actually held up in law, because if you got arrested for selling a firearm to a friend without a background check, with Virginia constitutional law and United States constitutional law, it's going to be a hard one to uphold. However, of course, they did pass the red flag gun law through the Virginia Senate Judiciary Committee, the one gun per month limit law, and also the local municipality locality law of firearms and ammunition. Now, this is a weird one that I had to look up because I didn't know a whole lot about it. But the provision of that bill basically allows any locality to make an ordinance prohibiting the possession or carrying of a firearm, ammunition, or components or any combination thereof in a public space during a permitted event or any event that the locality seems fit. Now, it sounds kind of weird when you first hear that because you kind of go, well, what are they talking about here? This basically means that, say, there's a certain city that's hardcore Democrats. They can go in now and say any event that's occurring, whether it's a Christmas event or it's a July 4th event or it's a protest or it's a parade, whatever it is, we're not going to allow you to carry any type of firearm or ammunition on your person whatsoever, even if you have a concealed carry permit that's completely legal. This bill's one of those weird ones that I hope all four of these get completely squashed when they go to a full vote in the Senate and go to the governor. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but again, these are the main ones they want, and that's what I warned everybody about. And see, what this whole, the SB 35, the one I just mentioned with this locality ordinance being able to prohibit possession of firearms, I talked to a buddy about this yesterday, and the reason why they're doing this, for a perfect example, say there is an event at a place like Disney Springs. They're having Christmas event for half of Christmas. Now, you guys remember a couple last month when I was at Disney Springs reluctantly with my wife and one of the kids to basically appease her, and I went and I was basically met by seven security contractors and sheriff department officers, seven in total, and they basically picked me up on facial recognition, and they asked me if I was carrying a firearm, and I said, yes, absolutely, for any lawful purpose, and they basically told me that I had to leave the premises or basically take my firearm off the premises. So I, you know, had a conversation with them, and then I took the family and I left. Now, here's the kicker with this. If this bill goes into law, and simply say someplace like Disney Springs or Orlando in general comes in and they say, listen, we have events on a weekly basis here. We have events on a daily basis here. Anytime we have any event whatsoever, we are going to basically make it law that no firearms are permitted on our property, and that's the ordinance law that we have because of SB Bill 35. And if anybody carries a firearm, it will be punishable by misdemeanor charge, so forth. Something minor. Well, as you guys know, it's state law, most state law, including Florida. If I carry a firearm on private property, such as Disney Springs, and they find out I'm carrying a firearm, they can ask me to leave, but they cannot arrest me for carrying a firearm. They can arrest me if I refuse to leave and cite me for trespassing, but because of Florida Constitution, they cannot arrest me for simply carrying a firearm just because they say they don't want me to carry a firearm. They can ask me to leave. Under this bill, if a city or town ordinance were to approve a gun ban in that area, they could then say that if I go into Disney Springs and I am caught carrying a firearm, they can arrest me for lawfully carrying a firearm because this city ordinance barred me from carrying a firearm. This is a really bad bill that doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but can go really sideways for a lot of people, especially when you have to start keeping up with every city and county and municipality ordinance that can now start doing this on a regular basis. So I'm with you, Dad. This is something that I really hope Virginia, you know, the citizens keep pushing and pushing and pushing to make sure that this, all of these get squashed before they go into law. Because as most people know, these things they're trying to do on a very slow basis. You know, I watched the first and second Hunger Games with my wife again the other day. And I always like watching those films very broadly and kind of looking at a lot of the nuances and things they say, because I've seen them multiple times. And one thing I've always said when I've watched both of those films, the first and second one, I tell Lane, I said, these movies are the textbook example why you never allow yourself to be disarmed. It gives you a very, very vivid example of what happens when white helmet peacekeepers with machine guns come in and put a martial law 6 p.m. ordinance, and he basically yells at everybody. This one guy comes in, and the second one, he goes, if you get out at 6 o'clock, you have a 6 o'clock curfew. If you are caught walking around the street after 6 o'clock, you will be shot on sight. And everybody goes, well, that would never happen. Well, the problem is, when you start realizing what happens when you're fully disarmed, you look at the Bolshevik Revolution. You look at what happened in World War II. You look at what happened in Germany. You look at all these places. Once a population becomes forcibly disarmed, the overreaching tyrannical oppressors that basically govern them can do anything they want, even if it's completely illegal, and there's nothing you can do about it. When there's 50 troops that walk down into the main city hall with full auto machine guns, and the whole population's been disarmed, and they have pitchforks and knives, there's nothing you're going to do about it. And so this is just something that I really encourage everybody to keep standing up for and fighting for our rights and making sure we stand our ground. Also, too, in other news, speaking of bills, I told you guys yesterday in New Jersey, remember they were trying to work on the mandatory vaccine bill in New Jersey and the religious exemption bill. They basically was right on the cusp of getting passed. Well, apparently a massive amount of people came in and basically were protesting outside of the Senate, and the lawmakers ended up basically shooting it down. Didn't pass it, voted nay on it, went to the ground now. And of course, a lot of the hardcore leftist senators have come in and said, we're going to refile the bill later on this year. So be on the lookout for that. But New Jersey, thankfully, they were very vocal about it, and the citizens were vocal. This did not go through. In Florida, the one, basically, the religious exemption bill has been filed. So far, it has not been voted on yet. It got filed yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's one that we're going to have to really, really keep an eye on as well. Because, again, this comes down to the same thing. When the government takes your ability to make your own decisions and takes your ability to consent, and they start telling you, your children have to take this injection, your child cannot do anything unless it gets shot up with these vaccines, you are no longer the parent. And the government owns you, and they own your children. Just to keep that in mind. So I thought I would just bring that up today, as both those are pretty related, Deb.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Austin, because the problem with Tallahassee, where we have here in Florida, it's up in the panhandle, because when Tallahassee was originally made the state capital, it was because the southern part of the state virtually had no people in it. And now we have a problem when you go from Orlando to Tallahassee. It's 250, 300 miles, you know, depending on how you drive. And there aren't any hotels that can handle a million-person march. Can't handle it. And so you've got a real problem in protesting in Tallahassee because of the geographical isolation. And it's going to be an issue to get enough people to go up there and to protest this. You know, so we may have to do more of a how many people can call up their senators and their congressmen, et cetera, in the state legislation. Because, again, this is all draconian stuff. They want to force you to inject basically fetal cells from aborted children into your child, and you don't have a choice. Now, right now, we still have the ability to avoid all that by homeschool. And that's what we've been able to do, because we homeschooled all four of our children as far as avoiding the vaccines. And we also have the religious exemption, but they're trying to take the religious exemption away if you want to put them in the public school. The problem we're going to have, Austin, is in the event that they decide that homeschoolers have to be vaccinated, or you'll basically have the Department of Family Services show up for abuse or neglect or whatever. That's going to be the problem when all of the homeschool parents. Now, the homeschool parents, they'll go to Tallahassee. They'll drive up there. Because there's enough of us that are willing to do that in the event that this were to happen. Now, I don't know where we're going to stay, but, you know, we're going to get up there and we're going to basically, you know, protest. But the problem, again, is this stuff is always put in a little increments, little increments, little increments, little increments. And what they're trying to do in Virginia, they're going to pass some laws at the state legislation level that's going to override what's happening in the county levels as far as the county saying, hey, look, we're going to basically be a red, you know, Second Amendment sanctuary county, and we're going to, the state's going to come in and override that. Now, remember, Donald Trump wants that all overridden. Donald Trump wants red flag gun laws in all 50 states from a federal standpoint. He wants draconian measures being implemented. The same guy who said he's going to protect our Second Amendment rights. The guy can't stop lying. He lies about everything. And you think, well, they're all like that. Well, pretty much they really all are all like that. They tell you what you want to hear, and then they do whatever they want to do or whatever they're instructed to do. Now, since we're picking on Disney here a little bit today, Disney has now introduced a demon who trains children to be witches. Now, this is crazy. A new Disney animated TV series released by Disney Television Animation last Friday has many parents concerned that the house that Mickey built has transitioned into giving children a bizarre pro-demon witchcraft message. Now, I'm going to say this very carefully. It has always been a pro-demon witchcraft message. If you don't believe that, go watch the movie Fantasia that was done, gosh, 80 years ago, and look at the demon of that thing. It'll scare the yin-yang out of you even as an adult. That's a horrible vision of what reality is, with that Mickey the Sorcerer and all this other kind of crazy nonsense and that demon thing they've got in there. In fact, they were doing an actual parade about that at MGM, and they had to stop it because the children were having nightmares and screaming and running away. I mean, it was ridiculous. They had so many parents complaining about it. They were showing this giant demon thing going up float. Like, here he is. You see him now. Whatever. So Disney's always been like this. The name of this thing now on TV is called the Owl House. And it's created by Dana Terrace. And it's described in the words of Disney. It says, the series follows self-assured teenage girl Lutz, who discovers a portal to another realm. Kind of sounds like CERN, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like CERN? Where humans are not well-liked, and she must disguise herself in order to fit in at witch school. Lutz, the main character, is a 14-year-old Dominican teenager. Her mentor, Etta, the Owl Lady, is the most powerful witch on the Isles and a wanted criminal for selling magical items to humans. I mean, this is just gets weird. Open portals into other dimensions? Whatever. But see, here's the thing, guys. It's always getting darker and darker and darker with Disney. You know, their pro-gay, pro-lesbian, pro-abortion stuff that they do is unbelievable. And now Disney is one of the is the primary media holder and owner of pretty much everything here in the United States of any kind of viable watchability. And the problem is, it never ends. Remember, they just put the lesbian underlying themes into the last Star Wars movie that had $100 million less revenue than the last one before that did. Why? Because they want to. This is the agenda they push. And I've talked to you guys about who the CEOs are. I've read the names. I've read the names of the CEOs on the show, giving you their ethnic backgrounds and what group of individuals are pushing all of this stuff. So it's not like we're making any of this stuff up. So, again, Austin's right. I don't support these companies, these places. I don't do this. I won't go give them money. I won't do it. I mean, why would I go to Disney with their open gay, open transgender, open witchcraft agenda? You know, why would I do that and give them money? And now that I know about all of this stuff, well, you don't understand, Ted. We've already got schedules. Our schedule's already made to go to Orlando. We'll go to Universal instead. Go to Universal. Stay away from Disney World. I'm telling you guys, Disney started Club 33. Remember that. Walt Disney did. And it was for 33-degree level Masons. That's what it was in. It was a private club. And it was at the Disney theme parks. Club 33. Not making this stuff up. Look it up. Disney himself was a Masonic leader. And all of these guys are steeped in the Kabbalah. And they're steeped in witchcraft and all the weirdo stuff at these levels. Because remember, I told you guys I did a show on this. We played it again last week. At the 30th degree level of the Masonic lodges, they take the gloves off. They let you know who and what you're involved with. And so we need to be aware of this kind of stuff and understand that this is not okay with anybody that's a Christian, or it shouldn't be. By the way, to change the topics and go into a health topic, a new study came out that says birth control pills may actually shrink the brain, can actually increase anger and depression. And it says, are you considering taking hormonal birth control, contraceptive pills, and shots prescribed with casual frequency? They have known side effects that very, very little are discussed. Now, you got to realize the birth control pills make your body think you're pregnant and you stop ovulating. And I knew girls back in college, this is way back in the 70s, and they were on the pill. And their personalities, invariably, every one of them changed. Because remember, when a girl, okay, now I'm not, I don't, this is going to sound sexist, but I'm not trying to be sexist, okay? I'm trying to be a biologist here. When a girl first starts ovulating, if she's in a society that's been programmed properly and have godly principles, the girl wants to get married and raise a family and may perhaps also want to have a career, depending on what she wants to do as far as her value systems. When the woman is then fertile and looking for a husband, she has a different mindset than she does after she's pregnant or after she's had children. In other words, they're looking for a husband who's going to be a person who's going to produce good children initially, but then she shifts that mindset because it becomes all about protecting the child, and now she's looking for a person who can protect the child, protect her, or provide for her. So you think, well, Ted, that's not how all women are. Okay, great. I'm not going to argue with you. You believe what you want to believe. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. The problem that you run into is that now they're telling us that they can shrink the brain, increase anger and depression. Almost all the girls that I knew had personality changes when they went on the pill. So if you're going to use birth control pills, be really, really careful with it. That's all I can say. Now, personally, if you're married and you don't want to have any more kids, your husband can also take precautions. And I'm not talking about vasectomies. They have a whole other set of problems associated with vasectomies. But you can be careful and not get pregnant. So, guys, think through all of these decisions that you make as a couple and what they're going to do to you long-term-wise. It's just one of these things you got to think about what's going to happen. I mean, what happens if you go on the pill, come off the pill, now you're having a hard time ovulating and you're having a hard time conceiving? That happens all the time. Happens all the time. Same thing with Gardasil shots. You think, well, I'm going to take a Gardasil shot because I don't want HPV. Well, all of a sudden you take the Gardasil shot, you have premature ovarian failure, and now you can't even ovulate at all, and now you can never have children. All of these things have side effects and consequences, and the globalists understand this. They put so many hormones into the food supply with all of these bisphenol A's and these other substitutes now, all these estrogen mimickers, that they're causing all kinds of problems with women and children and adults and with sexual differentiation. Now in California, they're actually passing laws now and changing laws about doctors who have children born, these pediatricians, who have both sexual characteristics. You say, well, what the heck? Does that actually happen? Yeah, that actually happens. And it's almost always because of a hormonal imbalance or hormonal interference during the gestational process. So be really, really careful when you're pregnant. Don't get a bunch of exogenous estrogens into your diet. Don't be eating a bunch of chicken that you could buy at the cheapest place that maybe is full with growth hormones. Stay away from all of that stuff and eat as clean as you possibly can. And when your kids are young, make sure they eat as clean as they possibly can. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
That's really well said. And I mean, and just to touch base on that further, if I say this a lot, I'm going to reiterate it again. If you are trying to get pregnant, if you're a female and you're married or whatever, and you're trying to get pregnant, do the best you can to tighten up your diet for that period going through the pregnancy and at least after while breastfeeding. Now, I know a lot of times sometimes pregnancies aren't planned and they happen. And at that point in time, if you find out you're pregnant, do the best you can to eat as clean as you can from then on forward. But I know a lot of individuals that they get pregnant, and I've seen it a lot in the office, and they think it's just a free-for-all. They think they're eating for two, and they say, I'm eating for two, and they shovel down as many cookies and cupcakes and Twinkies and milkshakes and everything they can get their hands on because they're having a craving. And then they add on 50, 60, 70 pounds during the pregnancy, and then they have the baby. And then all of a sudden, I don't know why I can't lose all this weight. Well, because you added on 50 extra pounds you probably didn't need. And not that just being said, all those chemicals, all those preservatives, all those toxins, all those estrogen mimickers, all that glyphosate, everything that's contaminated in all that garbage food the individual ate while being pregnant is transferred partially into that child. You know, the placenta filters out a lot of it, but as we've seen before, glyphosate doesn't leave the body. It stores in the body for a very long time. So if you're pregnant, it is your responsibility to do the best you can. Almost every woman women that I know that I've worked with or Lana's worked with that's become pregnant, and they've kind of let us help them with their diet and kind of point them in the right direction, never have I seen anybody go much over 30, 35 pounds during the whole pregnancy. Really, rare, anything past that. And the reason why is because when you're eating avocado oil with your organic eggs, or you're making, you know, some organic pasta with organic chicken, and you're eating really clean food all the time, it's virtually impossible to pack on that much body fat in 9 months because you're eating clean, your body's utilizing the food, and you're not overeating calories and stuffing your face with 2,000 and 3,000 calories per meal. I mean, if you look at the caloric numbers on a lot of stuff, like say you go to Steak and Shake and you go get a double, triple cheeseburger, whatever, and you get it with fries and you get it with a milkshake. If you look at the numbers on that, that's like a 2,000 calorie meal in one sitting, 2,000 calories, which is about as much food as the average person needs for the entire day, and a lot of people eat that in one meal at dinner. And then they can't figure out why they can't shave body fat off or they're constantly gaining weight. It's always important to do the best you can to eat as high-quality food as possible and eat small meals all day long. Dad and I are notorious for this. People laugh sometimes because we eat so much, but we don't eat that much. That's the irony about it, is we look like we're eating a lot because we're eating, you know, 4, 5, 6 meals a day all the time. But if you look at what we're eating, it's like grilled chicken or organic rotisserie chicken with a side of vegetables and like a half a cup of rice or a sweet potato. And so it looks like there's all this food we're constantly eating all the time, but when you actually break down the total caloric intake, it's not nearly as high as you think it is. So that's just something to kind of put into perspective and understand, especially as it's January now, we're past this Thanksgiving on Wednesday and Christmas on Wednesday and New Year's on Wednesday and this whole weird schedule that I know everybody got screwed up on last year, and we can get back into the habit of eating clean, exercising, just doing the best we can, getting back on a good, clean supplement regimen, even if it's something like just taking the Ultimate Multiple Powder or the capsules. That right there in and of itself can do tremendous amount of good for you as far as an overall health, just getting those minerals and staying balanced on a regular basis. And then one thing I wanted to bring up on as well, Dad talked about it a minute ago, is the weather that we're starting to see here. Understand, there's a lot of things going on in the weather that we've never seen really it ever before. 2019 now, for I just got the article from thebigwobble.org. They came out now and they said 2019 was now the second wettest year on record in the United States. At the same time, we also experienced a $14 billion bailout for weather and climate payout for farmers and other issues, and was officially the worst agricultural disaster in modern day history. And a lot of people have been talking about this, and this is why I keep beating this into everybody, you know, metaphorically. Make sure you have some food stored up. Whether you go and just get, you know, organic beans and rice from the store, or you have some MREs, or you have food bars or a food bucket, make sure you have some stored food, because I don't believe for one second everything that we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years and the manipulation and the lies that we've been told, and now all these things going forward like mandatory vaccines being pushed, mandatory gun buybacks, assault weapons bans, all these things that are progressing really, really, really aggressively now. At the same time, we can look at the United Nations Agenda 2020 manual and their 2030 manual, and it blatantly discusses on essentially wealth redistribution, gun confiscation, you know, everybody paying their fair share and helping out the smaller nations, and everything they're using now with the climate excuse, or, oh, this country has X amount of, you know, waste, so they need to give $500 billion to the smaller countries that basically don't produce as much waste. It's idiotic. And this is what everybody has to realize. I mean, Florida, our weather's like this. It's middle of January now. We're like back up in the 80s. 80s and rainy and overcast now. Our winter's over with. I mean, I saw another article earlier from Hawaii. They've had extreme rain and flooding. They're now having massive snowfall in the peaks of Hawaii. They got 22 inches of rain in 24 hours a couple days ago. And, I mean, they have massive flooding on all these rivers and everything. I mean, that's Hawaii. the whole weather, and whether or not it was man-made, whether or not it's been manipulated, it's neither here nor there, because one aspect of it that we do know for a fact is that spending billions of dollars and giving it to other countries to pay our fair share isn't going to do anything to fix the weather, isn't going to do anything to fix the entire aspect of what we've seen. China needs to be start held accountable for all their massive amount of pollution and not using scrubbers and their huge amount of plastic that they basically waste every single year. These are things we can look at, and it's ironic to me, too, is that people constantly talk about the carbon monoxide emissions. I'm a huge diesel proponent. If anybody knows me, I'm a huge diesel head. I've always liked diesel motors my whole life. And diesel fuel, combustible engines, diesel engines produce much, much lower concentrations of carbon monoxide than gasoline engines. Hence why if you start a diesel truck in your garage and you leave it running and you're in the garage, which I don't recommend you do, it's not what I'm telling you to do, but it will not kill you like a car will. You sit in a car with the car running in your garage for not very long, carbon monoxide is going to kill you. Now, diesel fuel will end up making you sick, and you'll get a headache. You'll probably start vomiting. So, I mean, it's obviously not healthy, but the carbon monoxide levels are a lot lower. Yet it's funny, we still deal diesel prices, which is actually a byproduct of gasoline production and, you know, as far as manufacturing. Diesel is significantly cheaper to make than gasoline. Yet why do we see diesel fuel 50, 60 cents, almost a dollar a gallon more in some places than regular gasoline? Why do we see all these restrictions on diesel engines? Why do we see all this crackdown from the EPA on diesel engines that are putting out 25 and 30 miles per gallon in pickup trucks and full-size pickup trucks I've personally been in before? Why do we see that? Because they know that diesel engines are incredibly efficient, they produce very little carbon monoxide, they can do incredibly good fuel mileage, yet they don't want to promote that because they know it doesn't fit the agenda of more fuel consumption and more emissions. This is what everybody needs to start understanding, is we're being lied to. So when you hear these people come out like that 16-year-old brat who's running around telling everybody we should be like ashamed of breathing and we should all basically die because we're killing the planet, understand who the real enemy is in this situation and understand who's manipulating it behind the scenes. Because one thing that we've seen generation after generation, war after war, is that the globalist bankers are incredibly efficient at pitting left and right at one another. And I don't mean just communists versus conservatives. I mean just anybody that has an opposing opinion, they pit them from one another. That's why we see so much all this stuff with, you know, everybody hates Trump, or you hate the Democrats, or you basically hate illegal immigration, or you're pro-immigration. They always have the left-right paradigm. They always have to go back and forth so they can create as much disharmony, anger, and aggression as physically possible. If people started realizing and coming together and saying, hey, the bankers are the ones who are doing this and manipulating this. The globalists that are these hardcore communists that have come over and infiltrated some of these states, they're the ones that are doing this. We're not fighting brother against brother. We need to come together and say, hey, we may have a few things we don't agree on. We may have a few things that we're not ever going to agree on. But if we at least have a similar base of what we agree on, we can make things happen. And that's why I've been trying to really promote the alternative media, because there's so many individuals now that are creating so much disharmony in the alternative media area just by a lot of things they're doing, they're saying, and inciting, and it really frustrates me because we're all in this boat together, and we have to start working together instead of fighting one another simply for the purpose of getting likes or clicks or promoting our website more by putting information out there horrible about other people. You don't ever hear me drop names on everybody, ever, ever. You don't ever hear me do it. The reason why is because it doesn't accomplish anything positive. I'll bring certain things up that I may not agree with in certain topics, but I don't go out and talk bad about other people and say this person, that, because all in all, we're trying to do the best we can, and if we don't agree on everything, that's okay, but we at least have to do the best we can to get this information out there, Dad.
Well, Austin, that's why we don't talk about other show hosts in a negative way. I don't do it. I may not mention them, or not say anything about them, or I may say something about something that someone's done, but I don't say, well, so-and-so did such and such, and I don't like this, just to create conflict. You know, we have enough of that. The Bible says they shall know you by your love for one another. And if somebody claims to be a Christian, and you claim to be a Christian, then why are you not working things out yourself and getting through it before you start going online and slamming them, like you said, to get clickbait and to get people to listen to you, because there's always a group of people out there that want to hear the negative. Oh, did you hear what Joe did? Did you hear what Jerry did? Did you hear what Dave did? Did you hear what Joe, you know, Michael did? Or did you hear what so-and-so did? It didn't make a difference. Well, no, I don't really know what they did, but if they did something they shouldn't have done, I'll probably go ahead and give them a shout. And if they don't return my phone call about it, I'm just still not going to really call them out on the air, because what's the point? What's the point? Now, if they start doing egregious things like telling you to worship the dark side, okay, or something crazy, well, then you got to intervene. You got to say something, because you don't want people to get confused. And that's the biggest problem that happens, is that people start getting confused when someone falls off the wagon. And they say, well, didn't such and such used to love so and so, and now they hate each other? What the heck just happened? You know, and if that stays within those two, I don't really care. But if it starts leaking out into all these different audiences and causing all of this conflict, at that point, you got to say, oh, gosh, I don't want to get involved in this, but I'm going to have to say something. You know, and then you have people, they threaten they're going to expose so-and-so, or threaten they're going to expose such and such. Hey, guys, what a mess. This is all what Austin just said. It's the way the globalists divide us. It's what Michael Moore just criticized Elizabeth Warren to doing for Bernie Sanders. It's the plan. Remember the Frankfurt School. The Frankfurt School wanted to divide men against women. That's why they brought us that unbelievable Jezebel, lesbian, whatever she is, bi, who knows what she is, Gloria Steinem. I mean, all of this stuff said, what was her big quote? Women need a man about as much as a fish needs a bicycle, or something stupid like that. I mean, where does it even come from? Just make stuff up. They brought us the Playboy magazine. They brought us all this stuff to cause division with these men. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts wrote a really good article, and it's called The New Politics of Sex. I posted it on the website, the healthmasters.com news site. And, he was talking about how when he was in college, you know, it was different. You know, you didn't have these massive gay pride marches in North Carolina, New York, or San Francisco. And that, you know, and he said they looked at their high school class when they had their last reunion. They couldn't find any gays anywhere. They couldn't remember anybody being gay. And then, you know, Dr. Stephen Bakerfield's book, he wrote a book called The New Politics of Sex, and he said he started realizing that a lot of things have really, really changed. He said, perhaps it's a politically incorrect question. He said, it would be impossible to investigate because, the Bakerfield points out, any reasonable evidence-based backed criticism of feminism is regarded as a personal attack on women. Even universities where free inquiry and free speech has, in the past, had the widest scope, opposition to feminist pronouncements can mean termination. Tenure notwithstanding. In short, the radical feminists rule academia. By the way, guys, that is true. Even areas of science are being politicized. Academic feminists are proud of their power, and they boast about it in the same way that Israeli leaders boast about their power over the United States, which, by the way, they do. The feminist power extends into the broader society. The cover of the Atlantic Monthly boasts the end of men, and Hannah Rosen proclaims, Rosen, that's an interesting name, proclaims women are taking everything, control of everything. And he goes, unfortunately, this is not a false claim. Feminists have politicized sex. They teach that heterosexual intercourse is a man oppressing a woman or oppressing his wife. If the female partner doesn't understand that she's being oppressed, it's because the male world has brainwashed her. Radical feminist Catherine McKinnon has declared all heterosexual sex to be raped. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Radical feminist Catherine McKinnon has declared all heterosexual sex to be rape. And, of course, now we see women and men who are married, women accusing their husbands of raping them. I mean, the weird things that go on nowadays are unbelievable. Inexplicably, heterosexual male legislators are legislating a radical feminist legal system, which a man who asks a woman for a date can be guilty of sexual harassment. And a man who shows realization of an attractive woman is guilty of eye rape. Rape you with my eyes, I guess. It's weird. Feminists have destroyed marriage and the relationship between men and women. Due process for accused men, and they have brought government into the family, endowing bureaucracy with the power to seize with federal subsidies children from parents, and to put them in foster homes where they are sedated and, according to some investigators, sometimes leased or sold to pedophiles. Feminism has degenerated from the vote for women and acceptance in the workplace of men, which is what many women who are not paying attention regarded as feminism and to attack on men. Heterosexual men have no greater enemy than feminists. Catherine McKinnon makes that completely clear. The marginalization of men and perhaps their extermination is the explicit goal of radical feminism. Now, Bakersfield also in his book wonders if men are so weak and defeated and that they will accept their demise. Here's why I talked about that in detail right now. Okay, we have so many men out there, and I get emails from you guys, I listen to you, who are so frustrated with trying to date, so frustrated with trying to find a woman who acts like a woman and not a guy, so frustrated in trying to find a woman who wants to be feminine, who doesn't want to act like a dyke. And there's a word I probably shouldn't use, but I don't care. And so I feel sorry for you guys that you're in a dating pool that's like this. You know, I suggest that you go to church and you get a good conservative church that you go to, and you find a good person, a good woman going to that church. I recommend the same thing for you ladies looking for a guy who's not a wussy, you know, who hasn't been feminized and beaten down. This is one of the reasons we've had a big surge in homosexuality in the United States. It's not to the levels where they want us to believe it is, but it's because men basically have been feminized by the hormones in the food supply. They become sexually confused as to who they're attracted to because of these hormones, and because of the feminization of the women and the radical nature of the lesbian agenda. These men have been beaten down every time they ever ask a woman to go on a date. No, maybe not every time, but the vast majority of the time, where they had that happen to them repeatedly, and now they're scared to ask a woman out. Guys, this is the pits. I mean, now you have to go to a friend group on a chat room or get to know people in a group setting before you can even go up to them and talk to them and perhaps ask them out for a glass of herbal tea. It used to be a cup of coffee. I guess it's a glass of herbal tea now. And so we have to understand that this was brought to us on purpose. Why? It's the inversion. I did a show on this last year. It's an inversion. Everything that God made to be a certain way, they want to invert it. They want to make it opposite. They want to create as much stress and anger and anxiety as they possibly can in relationships to further push the Franklin School mentality, to further break down the nuclear family. And they've done a very good job of it. They've done a very, very good job of taking women and men and pitting them against each other. And I find it extremely sad that this has happened. Used to be you could go up and you could ask a girl in college, you know, 40 years ago, hey, I think, you know, I just saw you in class. You seem like you have a nice personality. You know, would you like to go over to the student union and talk for a few minutes? Oh, you can't do that anymore. Now that's sexual harassment. Well, I didn't say anything about sex. I just asked if they would have a cup of coffee or a glass of tea or whatever. They never mentioned sex. I mean, I may go out with them or go talk to them for 25 or 30 minutes and realize that we're like diametrically opposed in all of our values and I don't want to have anything else to do with them. But why can't I just talk to them? This is the problem that we've run into. And again, this was brought to us by the same people who brought us the Russian Revolution, the Rothschild Banking Cartel, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Frankists, the Druids, the Kabbalists, the same group that I talk about all of the time that nobody else seems to want to talk about. This is that group that did this to us. This hardcore feminism. And this is permeated now into the Jewish culture to a point where women who are Jewish, whose husbands die, can't find other Jewish men to date because almost all the Jews they try to find to date are gay. I talked to a lady just a few years ago, and I was at a hotel. We had some free rooms, and we were at the St. Regis in Aspen, and they were having a big convention there. It was a Jewish convention, and I was talking to a lady by the pool who was Jewish. Very, very nice lady. I tried to get her saved. And she's about 35, 40 years old. And Sharon was with me. You guys would understand, I was not by myself. Sharon was with me, and I was talking to this Jewish lady. She's laying by the pool. And I said to her, I said, is it true that you ladies have a hard time finding Jewish men who aren't gay to date? And she almost started crying. And she said, yes, that's exactly the truth. We've become so militant, so feminized in our Jewish, you know, religion and our Jewish nationality that we basically have most of these guys now are gay that are older, and it's hard for Jewish women. And she goes, my husband died a few years ago, and I can't find anybody to date. And I thought it was so sad. And it goes right along with what I learned when I went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade back in 2006 with a friend of mine, Pastor David from St. Louis. We went up to see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we got into a taxi. It was me and David, his child, me and Sharon, and three more kids. Our little kids were all small still back then. And we went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade up there, and we got into a big van, and we started talking to the taxi driver. And I told David, I said, "And you're going to notice there are no Christmas decorations here in New York City because it's controlled primarily through the Jewish lobby, the Jewish groups, the whatever." And he said, and the guy says to me, the taxi, he goes, "That's exactly right. They don't believe in Christmas. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't promote that." And then he started talking to us. He said, "But there's some other things that you don't realize too." And we started talking about Hollywood, et cetera. And he said, "The Jews, when they go to school, they're segmented. The boys go to one school, the girls go to another school. And because of that, you have a huge percentage of the Jewish guys that are gay." And I said, "Whoa." And he says, "Yeah, that's the truth." And he says, "And they're the ones who go to Hollywood and write, and they're the screenwriters, and they write all of these gay agendas into Hollywood's, you know, movies and TV shows." And he said, if you guys reported me for saying this, they'd take my cab shield away from you and I'd lose my ability to drive a taxi. He said, because the gay mafia here is so strong, the gay Jewish mafia is so strong in New York, they pretty much rule the roost all the way from the Broadway shows to the laws that are being passed. And I always thought, you know, this guy's kind of an extreme, what he's saying. But then I met this lady at Aspen, and she told me the same thing. And I thought to myself, wow. See, and this is the problem when you have a group of people that are extreme leftists that associate with being with Judaism. In fact, Prager wrote an article on this, and I talked about it last year, about how the leftists in the Jewish faith, Jewish nationality, have basically pushed the narrative so far to the left that a lot of the Jews who are right-wing or who are conservative, who are pro-God, pro-gun, pro-family, and there are a lot of them like that, are basically pushed into the mix with all the rest of the ones that are the radical, you know, communists. And this is the problem that we run into when we allow any specific group of people, particularly the communists, and these Babylonians, I guess you could call them, these druids, these Kabbalists, to come in and start dictating policy, like we see now with Disney World, you know, and what stuff's going on with the gun control there. And we all see with Disney coming in with basically a demon teaching children how to be witches and go through different portals. Guys, all of this stuff is an agenda. And see, we see this as bizarre now. We're complaining about it. But in three or four more generations, when all of these young children have gone through this, through their state of brainwave states, they're going to find all of this stuff normal. And they're not going to know what to say about it because it'll be like, "Well, that's just normal, Dad. That's just normal." Well, it's never going to be normal for me because here's why. I was born in 1955. I have a different frame of reference. I remember when things were normal. I remember when the big TV shows were, you know, Andy of Mayberry and, you know, and Barney and, you know, and Hogan's Heroes and you know, I Dream of Jeannie and Mr. Ed and Father Knows Best. Those are the ones that I was raised on, or The Amazing Adventures of Superman. Okay? All of these things that we saw as normality with nationalism and the United States being a country that loved one another and that was united against world tyranny, it's all changed. And now the new normal is you have 25 different sexes. You could be a frog tomorrow, or next week you could be a sponge. The following week you could be a tarantula. You could be whatever you want to be. And all this sick, perverted stuff, all of it from the Frankfurt School, pushing this agenda over and over and over again. But I want to cover this because a lot of you guys have contacted me, especially the men, and told me we can't find anybody today. We don't know what to do. So again, go to a church, a conservative church, and talk to the pastor. Maybe he knows somebody that you could date. But also do this too, because guys, you got to do yourself a favor. You don't go in there like you're a weirdo. Gosh, I shouldn't have said that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Don't be going in there and acting all desperate, all right? Don't do that. Just be cool about it. You know, opportunity will always shy away from need. And if a woman really feels as though you're desperate to try to date somebody, she doesn't see that as a strength, especially if she's conservative. Ladies, the same thing is true with that. If you're looking for a guy, just be chill about stuff. Just get to know people. Be friends with them. You know, it doesn't have to be, "Oh, my gosh, I'm on a mission. I've got to get married in the next 30 days. It doesn't have to be that, okay? All right, that's about as close to the heart as I can talk to you guys. I had the opportunity to pray for you this morning. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely wonderful. And you guys mean the world to me. And I tell you what, I look forward to this every single day. I love you guys. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, yes. And, again, guys, just thank you for getting this information out there. HealthMasters.com and just get this constant news out there, whether it, you know, is in small increments or large increments. Do the best we can to make a difference in our local areas. Try to be vocal, try to be interactive, and be self-sufficient. I talked about that yesterday, and I mean, I mention it every single day. The more self-sufficient we can be, meaning we're not hooked on a bunch of medications, we don't have to go to the doctor every 30 days for another checkup, we can actually exercise and train pretty regularly, we're very healthy, we have good energy, we have good supplies, we have good water and food storage, you really don't have anything to worry about in most cases. If you're fairly good shape and you're working and you're active, I mean, you don't have to worry about it. You have a hurricane coming. Okay, whatever. We'll deal with that as it comes. And I mean, this is something that I encourage so many people, because I see so many times people just kick the can down the road. Oh, I don't have the finances for this right now. I can't buy a bucket of food, or I can't do this or that. And then you turn around, like I've said this before, and you'll see them out, and they're not eating dinner every single weekend, or they're running around to Disney, and they go buy their, what is it, $800, $900. I think the top one's now like $1,000, $1,100 for the premier ticket, the platinum annual pass every year. $1,000 for a ticket. And I've had numerous people I know, friends I know, they begged me to get Disney pass. So absolutely not. The only time I've gone to Disney in the last like 8 years, I've gotten free passes from a buddy of mine who works there, and he'll get us free pass when I'm taking the kids, and I still loathe going there. And it's just something that I don't think is good for anybody, even the kids. And so if you know that there's certain things you need to do, do them. Don't just keep kicking them down the road. And don't go buy and support companies that you know, like Sprite. I mean, you guys, I've talked about it last month, but I've talked about it again. I still see Christians drinking it. I mean, Sprite came out with a giant LGBT commercial like a month and a half ago. Giant one. Boy getting his makeup put on by his mom and going in full drag. Another girl having her mom basically strapped down her breasts so she looks like a boy. And they go to this LGBT parade rally. Sprite. I mean, look online. Sprite. Huge, huge, huge transgender promotion. I mean, it's disgusting, to be honest with you, when you watch it. Yet, people still buy Sprite. Yet, people still buy Starbucks. Vote with your dollars, and I promise you'll make a difference. Thank you again for the support. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.